So thanks for coming, everybody. And thank you for your interest, stroke passion, to get involved in Connect Groups. We'll pray for the whole concept just now, but I just wanted to set out what's going to happen over the next two Wednesdays. So I will lead a session this evening, running through the first elements of Connect Groups, introducing the concept and focusing on what it means to be a leader of a Connect Group. And then we'll have a question and answer session at the end. And next week, Chris has kindly offered to lead the second session, which is, you know, perhaps covering a bit more on the character of a leader and what we see in what we hope to see from these Connect Groups in terms of equipping you know, seeing people's leadership gifts and ministry gifts coming out. And we'll have more questions and answers next week as well. So before I get started, I'm just going to pray for the whole concept of Connect Groups for all of us and those who couldn't make it as well. Father, thank you that your very being is connected. The Trinity is connected, an unbreakable connection, that throughout Scripture we see how you long to connect with your creation. And Father, thank you that we have the opportunity to follow the lead that you set out in your word, that we can bring our passions and our interests in a group and see spiritual growth as we share those interests and those passions. Lord, we pray as we step out onto the ice, as it were, into sort of somewhat uncharted territory, that your hand would guide us, that we would consistently look to you and your word to equip us and bring us to a place of enjoyment and growth from these groups. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Sherry, if we can have the next one, please. Okay, thank you. So the first couple of slides is an introduction. If you were here the last two or three Sundays, you will have heard these points within Mark and Kevin's preaches. But I just thought it was important to give a background and an introduction. So I've given you all handouts. I really encourage you to scribble all over them as we go through. If you have questions, please can you write them down somewhere, and then we'll have a Q&A session at the end of this session. Depending on how we're going for time, the plan was to cover the introduction and the first point on leadership, and then have a short sort of 5-minute break, and then do the last point on leadership. We'll see how we go. To be honest, I really don't see this taking us longer than 45 minutes to an hour. So afterwards, there is some coffee and tea, and Josh and Eva very kindly contributed some food for us to enjoy afterwards as we continue to talk about these things as well. Okay, so we value Connect Groups because the Scriptures value them, and the early church met in them. And we see in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. A well-quoted scripture and often used to set some guidance around life groups or home groups, small groups, whatever you wish to call them. But it really is an important reference point for us in scripture. And I like this scripture where it is in the book of Acts, because it's really early in the life of the early church. And for me, that underlines how important this aspect of our connections and our fellowship together is. Because if it was good and strengthening for them in the first days, months, years of the church, then it's got to be good for us today as well. Thanks, Sherry. So you should recognize this statement by now. At the Bridge, we connect all people to encounter God's Word and Spirit. We want our connect groups to be the vehicle through which the ministry within the body, within the life at the Bridge, takes place. Not to replace the other services and other things we have within the life of the church, but really to accompany them and help us to build people's ministry in a setting that may feel a little different and a little more comfortable for them. Connect groups will be developed along a twofold focus, which will incorporate gifts and passions or interests. Thanks, Sherry. So the idea is that people who share a common interest or are like-minded will get together on a weekly basis and enjoy each other's company because of that common interest. But through that, we expect to see spiritual development. So I'm sure that you've all got good examples of strong friendships that have developed over the years because of common interests, whether it's music, whether it's sport, whether it's the Word of God, whether it's praying. I'm sure you can all point to friendships and relationships that you've had throughout the course of your life that were birthed out of that common interest. And that's what we see here. We see that the interest will bring people together and set the scene for relationship building. But we don't want to see neglect of spiritual growth and spiritual development. And I'll come on to, you know, the things that we expect to happen within the context of a connect group. But Mark already talked of, you know, the need to incorporate prayer, worship, testimonies, or study of the Word in some shape or form during the course of these connect groups. So we trust that through connect groups, it will give the opportunity for people in a smaller setting, in a smaller group, to really build a relationship with one another, and that there will be time and an appropriate place to share, to listen, and to minister to one another. And I think we all probably recognize that Sundays can be quite difficult to really connect with one another. There's lots going on. There can be kids running around distracting us. There's various tasks that we have to perform. And whilst we can catch up with people, we can't really connect with them on a Sunday. And I liken it in the same way that if you just attended church on a Sunday, you wouldn't build a relationship with Jesus that way. In order to build a strong relationship with Jesus, you need to spend more time in his presence and in a place that's comfortable for you to spend that time. And I'm trusting that through these groups, there will be a setting, a time where people will really build strong relationships with one another. And through that building of relationships, we are trusting that there's a strength there that continues no matter how large the church gets. So if we find it, you know, challenging now to really connect with people the size that we are, we're trusting that connect groups are going to be a further way of stimulating growth in the life of the body. So my thanks to Chris, who came up with this great little diagram to summarize what I've said. So you can pull up the next one as well, Sherry. Thanks. Yeah, that's great. Just there. So on the what Chris has done is put it graphically, which is very helpful for people like me who prefer to see things diagrammatically. So on the left, you see that we've got the concept of spiritual development through these connect groups. And on the right, the concept of common interests. And for some reason, cow tipping is not considered appropriate. But the idea is that those two elements are an integral part of every connect group and every time you meet. Thanks, Siri. And that's how we see the model for connect groups to be brought together. Thanks. And the next one, thank you. And then through that, we have a structure which allows us to live our faith together in these groups and help bridge the connection that we have. And from that, we want to see leaders. We want to see leaders rise up. We want to see people move into the areas of ministry and the giftings that God has equipped them with. So Mark touched on this in his preach, and I thought it was an important point to reinforce as well. We feel that people need to have others that they can rely on, that they can trust in difficult times and in good times. Louise sent us an email saying that she'd been offered a permanent position, something that she's been striving for a long time, each time she's renewed her temporary position in her job. She's been longing to have a permanence to that position. And it was so, I'm sure all of us who received that email were just so uplifted by the joy that came from knowing this answer to prayer, this testimony. So we want these groups to develop a depth of relationship that allow you to share each other's joys and support each other in the hard times. And, you know, Mark made the very good point that people connect to people and they don't connect to sort of systems or tools. And we really trust that through those connections we're going to see a church family culture grow stronger. One final point on before I switch from this slide. The equipping of people within a connect group is really important. So I'll come on now to the sort of leadership side of it. But what we don't want to engender in these groups is that there's one dominant personality who's leading the group and everybody else is sitting back and listening. They really need to be groups that everybody feels comfortable to share and contribute to. And we trust that we're going to see people's ministry gifts come out through that. And as you as you spend time having fun and sharing your common interests, there'll be a level of trust that is built up. And that's a good foundation for people to start feeling comfortable and confident to pray for one another or to share a testimony and the like. Nope. That's next week's. It should be a slide entitled Seeing Yourself as a Leader. If you have your Bibles with you or a device that will bring up the Word, I'm going to be reading 1 Timothy 3. And I'm going to read the whole of verses 1 to 12. And as I'm getting older, I have to do that without my glasses now. Okay. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Deacons, likewise, are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging in much wine, and not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested, and then, if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. In the same way, their wives are to be women worthy of respect, not malicious talkers, but temperate and trustworthy in everything. A deacon must be a husband but one wife and must manage his children and his household well. So you may be sitting here thinking, well, that's all well and good, but I'm not a deacon, and I'm not an overseer or an elder in the body of the church. But when Paul outlines the characteristics that these offices in the life of a church should hold and live up to, he doesn't anywhere state that these qualities are not for other leaders in the body of Christ. So there's nowhere that says there's a different standard for other leaders within the body. So when we take on the responsibility to help, to care, or to minister to others within the body of the church, we do what is noble in the kingdom. And this doesn't place character and gifting leadership requirements beyond the reach of every Christian, of what we should all be holding true to. What it does emphasize is that if we desire to take a leadership role in the life of the church, we understand that we must live up to the legitimate expectations that the Scripture lays down. So that passage of Scripture that I've just read sets out a standard for leadership within the body of the church. And you're here today to understand what we are hoping to see within the leadership context of these Connect groups. So here are some of the practical considerations for all leaders within the body of Christ. So they must be sincere, they must be honorable and respectable. sincerity, being honorable and being respectable breeds trust. And to lead, you really need to have a strong foundation of trust. You need to have others who will follow you. My dad always said, if you're leading and no one's following you, you're just going for a walk. And it's very true. In order for people to follow you, there has to be a strong foundation of trust. And that is built around sincerity, honor, and respect. People who regularly attend and tithe to the Bridge and who support the church in its mission. So we expect leaders within the body of Christ to, you know, be committed to the Bridge and support the church in its mission. They're to be people who are seen to have a genuine desire to serve and minister to other people. And Jesus is clearly the best example we have of someone who was committed to serve while he was leading others. You should, or we expect leaders to be able to lead, to motivate, and to teach other people. And we would like the leaders to be able to create a positive group dynamic, to comfortably and sensitively deal with conflict resolution within the context of the group. I think anybody who has had a group of people together and has been responsible for leading that group of people would know that it's not all daisies and sunshine. Occasionally you get conflict of opinion, and you know, there's a need to be able to handle those situations with sensitivity, but also not letting them get out of hand. So, is previous experience necessary? I don't know the background of everybody here. I don't know how much leadership experience you may or may not have had, or in what context that leadership experience was in. However, we see in the Word that the possibility of leadership exists for anyone who commits himself or herself to loving God and loving his people. Leadership skills can be taught and they can be learned, and they're not a prerequisite to leading a connect group. So we're not looking at people and saying, well, you know, where's their resume? What experience have they had of successfully leading before? We are trusting that if we see that they love God and they love God's people, that they are going to have the ability to grow and develop in leadership skills while stepping out with the passion to lead a connect group. An important aspect of developing in your leadership skills is the interrelationship with the elder or deacon that will be assigned to your group if you're leading a group. And I'll come back to that concept in a little while. So, there's 4 points here, which are very straightforward, but these are the sort of parameters, or you know, bare bones of what we would expect to see in people who are leading a group. You'll have the ability to encourage, to influence, and to connect with others. Thanks, Sherry. The ability to share the scriptures, to pray with one another, and to work in team. So the working in team is an important aspect, and I'll come on to it just now, but what we want to see engendered in the life of these connect groups is the growth of everybody in the group. But we also want the structure to be that there would be a leader and a assistant leader, co-leader, support leader as well for each group. This is important because we don't want the groups to miss a week because the leader may not be available. They may be unwell, So we do want everyone who's got a passion to lead a group to identify a co-leader and work in team with them and the others in the group to help develop their ministry gifts. So the final part is really just touching on what's expected of you, of anybody who wishes to take on the responsibility of being a Connect Group leader. So the Bridge Connect Group Leadership Enrollment Program, which sounds like a tattoo you ought to have stuck on your arm when you've been through it, is made up of the following points. Yeah, you all passed that one. So attend the leadership training. So it may sound like I'm reiterating some of these, but for the benefit of people who are going to be listening online, I will walk through each of these points. Thanks, Sherry. So the leadership training is going to be this week and next week. We have made it available for people who couldn't make the sessions. As soon as we're able to, after the next Wednesday, we'll get it up onto the website as well. But it is really important that if you're committed to taking this leadership role on in the life of the church, that you know, you've gone through this material and come up with questions, dwelt a little bit on it, and chewed on it, and prepared yourself for what we would expect to see in the life that's going to be driven from these Connect groups. So signing up on the website and expressing your idea for a group by completing the Connect Group Leaders Starter Group form. So Sherry's done a great job already, given not a lot of notice, to set up a form on the website, really not an extensive form, giving you an opportunity to say what your idea is, how you expect to lead it, things like the location, will childcare be provided or not, those kind of questions. And then there's a submit button. So you fill out the form, submit it, it gets sucked up into the ether, and then Chris, Kevin, Michael, and Mark will extract it from the ether somewhere and have a coffee and a kick around of these ideas. No, I mean, the idea is that, you know, we will have a look at the ideas, and the reason we're doing that is clearly because we, as a sort of leadership group within the life of the church, it's important that we are responsible in what groups are started and the ideas that are fostered within those groups. The guys will look at those ideas, and if they have comments, they'll comment back. What we absolutely don't want to do is quash people's passions and quash people's desires to lead the groups. But we may just, you may receive some directional guidance around certain elements of the ideas to help. So the next point is to identify an assistant leader and have them complete the leadership training. So I touched on this earlier, but we really want these Connect groups to operate in team. And it's really important that both the leader and the assistant leader are fluent in what is expected and what is hoped for from these groups and from the role of leadership within the context of these groups. And the final point is connecting with your assigned elder or deacon. Now, this is really important. So the way we see this working is that we'll receive the ideas, we'll see who wishes to lead a group, and an elder or a deacon will be assigned as a support to that group. we will do our best to assign somebody who has a relationship already with the leader of that group, may have a particular interest in the interest that's being led through that group. But the idea of that role is as a reference point for the group leader. There should be regular communication. And by regular, we mean, you know, weekly it would be good. So that there's a good interaction between the support mechanism that we're putting in place and the leader and the group that the leader is leading. There's not going to be any specific rules and regulations about what you have to report back on to the elder or deacon assigned to your group. It really is a relational thing, and we're trusting that the relationship will grow as the Connect group moves forward. Okay. Next one. Thanks, Sherry. So these last 4 points, these are the last 4 points of this session. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on each of them, but the first one is complete the mission. So what we mean by that is you've got an idea, and we expect you to evolve that idea before you start session one or the first meeting. And once you've got that plan in place, that you follow it through to completion. So you need to, just some pointers to help with this. Establish the primary reason for the group. And that should be geared around the five e-graces we have in the life of the church. Is the primary reason to encounter God? Is it to engage people? Is it equipping the saints? Is it empowering leaders? Or is it extending the kingdom of God? Well, we hope that each of those will be seen in the life of your group, but there should certainly be one of them that is a primary focus in the life of the group. Praying for and coordinating the meetings to include worship, prayer, Bible study, or testimonies is an important aspect of completing the mission. And it's completely up to the leader and their assistant leader to work out how they incorporate worship, prayer, Bible study, or testimonies within the life of their Connect group. You can do all four every week. You can do one every week. But we recommend that you do at least one on a weekly basis. What we hope will happen is that after the first couple, there'll be a desire to do these things without prompting, without the leader saying, right, now we're going to have a time of prayer. That, you know, people within the life of the group will be itching to come and share testimonies or share what they've read in the Word during the course of that week, before or after the group sort of common interest has taken place. So we are very happy for new members to be welcomed into a group at any time during the term of a group. So I think you probably will have picked up from the preaching over the last 3 weeks that these are going to run in three separate terms during the course of the year. The first term is going to start the week commencing the 18th of October and will run for a six-week period. But we don't really want to have a situation where you've got the people who turn up in week one and no one else is allowed to join. These Connect groups are about outreach and welcoming people from the community in, as well as those within the life of the church. On top of that, we want the members of the group to be encouraged to invite others into the life of the church. who are outside of the life of the church into the groups. And of course, if they feel comfortable to join us on a Sunday, then that's a great opportunity for them to embrace some of the corporate worship that we have on a Sunday. And then the final part is completing your topic during the term. So if you're anything like me, you may get 3 weeks in and discover that you're not as far through the plan that you'd originally set out as you might like to have been. That's fine. Be flexible. Be prepared to change so that you do reach the end of what you wanted to do by the time you complete the term. Thanks, Sherry. So loving and caring for people. So we really expect the leaders to show a genuine interest in the people in their groups' daily lives. And part of that is praying daily for everyone in the group. And also remember your assigned elder and deacon in that as well. Relationship is so much more improved through prayer, in my experience anyway. You can have difficult relationships, but through prayer, you can receive grace, and that changes the context of that relationship immediately. So when you have others come in who you don't know, just be sensitive and considerate to those who believe and those who may never have heard the word of God. But part of that is having fun. So, you know, welcoming people in, let them have fun. Let the group have a lot of fun. Yes, we think it's important to incorporate worship, prayer, Bible study, or testimonies into the group. And there may be people who don't know Jesus who feel, you know, they're not entirely certain about how that sits with them. But that's fine. You have to persevere and give them the opportunity to ask questions about it. So in terms of the context of the meeting, just do your best to prepare for the meeting before people arrive and make it a great, you know, just a welcoming environment, an environment that's going to work for the context of what you're doing. So it's frustrating for people if they turn up and you're not ready to receive them. Just remember that people are also planning their day, their evening, their life around being in your group for the period of time that you've invited them. And it's really important that as a leader of that group, you're setting an example, that you're ready to go, you're ready to welcome them in before they turn up. Thanks, Sherry. So we touched on this earlier. It's important that you commit to developing as a leader. If I may just look at myself briefly, I've been leading people for a long time in my business world. The thing I love about being in the body of Christ is that every time I meet with the guys here, I pick up more things. And every time I go through the Word of God again, I pick up more things that help me in my leadership. And it's really important that whatever stage of leadership you feel you're at and whatever level of competence you feel you're at, that you are willing to undertake the training, embrace guidance from the elder and deacon assigned to your group, work with your chosen support leader to continue to develop as a leader. Very important to continue to raise up and support the assistant leader. Because we are trusting that they may, on the back of that experience, want to lead a group themselves. And maybe they'll ask you to be their support. But what that means is that you should probably make time to you know, separate from the group, just have some time with your assistant leader, praying with them, talking with them about anything that's come up in the life of the group, specific things that could be brought into the life of the group, just a reference point. And you can include the elder and deacon assigned to the group within those discussions as well. And then there's always space for humility. So it's a good idea to actually just be open with the people in the life of the group and ask them what they think. It's good to have a plan, and it's good to follow that plan. But, you know, you may well have three people turn up that you weren't expecting. They may be from a completely different background to what you're comfortable with or what you've known before. And so it's good to talk with the group about how things are going, how they're getting comfortable in the context of the group, and if there's anything that they think would be helpful to complete the mission. Thanks, Sherry. So the last one is stay the course and give feedback. So keeping a consistency in the way that you meet and the location that you meet, you'll find very helpful. So people can come prepared and expectant about what they're going to do and what they're going to receive and how they're going to receive it. It's never helpful to sort of say, right, this week we're going to meet Tuesday at 7 o'clock and next week it's going to be Wednesday at 6 o'clock. And then the following week, I'm afraid it's going to have to be a Sunday after church. You know, it messes people's schedules up. And so it really is helpful if you can stick to the same venue and the same time each week. Stick to your idea. It is important to ask for feedback and get the input of both your assistant leader and the elder and deacon assigned to your group and the group itself. But that shouldn't really sway you off your idea. And always look for just creative ways to develop it as you go through the term. And then finish well. Finishing well is something we see in the scriptures as an important component part of what we do. And we are going to set up a feedback forum, a feedback sort of place for both the members of the group and yourselves as leaders to give feedback. And you know, it may be appropriate that during the life, during the term time, or at the end, there's an opportunity for the group itself, or maybe just the leader and assistant leader, to come and share with the body of the church as well. So remember all of those things in terms of feedback and how you get feedback and give feedback, and then we will work out how that is best shared corporately amongst the body of the church. So that's it for session one. Thanks for your attention.